You may be seated.
Morning. We're in Titus this morning. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I hope you bear with me this morning. There's the stereotype of, pray for us. We haven't had time to prepare. Well, that's kind of literal this morning. But I'm thankful for the opportunities that the Lord gives for me to preach, and especially here at Emmanuel Church. This is a little bit different than preaching in class at school or nursing home. It's nice to preach in the Lord's house, and I wish it could be under different circumstances, but I'm thankful otherwise. You're in Titus chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Most of us heard as a kid, I know I heard as a kid, from my mom, a prerequisite to go play was the sentence, "Don't get dirty." And a lot of times it was, after you got a shower or you're in your church clothes or it's raining outside and it's muddy and your mom doesn't want you to get dirty. But after lots of prodding and pleading, your mom finally allows you to go play, but she gives you that one condition: don't get dirty. For a reason is she doesn't want you to ruin your clothes or, have to take another shower or whatever. And this morning, I want us to look at that concept of our salvation. After salvation, God doesn't take us home immediately to be with him in heaven. We are left here on earth to fulfill his will, his purpose for our lives. And when we get saved, when we have salvation, we get a commandment, the commandment from the Lord, don't get dirty. And that's the title of my message this morning, don't get dirty. And that is the key principle I want us to see throughout. This morning, I want us to see from this passage God's plan for us in this world and the commandment for us not to conform to it. And I'm going to be skipping around here in our passage this morning. But the first thing is I want to see is our abode. You see in verse 12, it says, in this present world. As I said, we're not taken home to be with the Lord immediately. He left us here for a purpose. The Bible says that all things were created by him and for him, and that it was created for his glory. And we are given a purpose. The purpose of our lives is to bring God glory through how we live our lives and how we obey his word. We find in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, the Great Commission, a commandment that we are supposed to be fulfilling and carrying out as we are left here on earth, our abode. And those who have received Christ as their Savior have become a new creature. All old things are passed away. All things have become new. We have received in salvation a new pair of clothes, you could say. Is those pure white clothes, our old dirty clothes, the clothes that were stained with sin and the dirt of sin and the mud of sin, we have taken those off and put on the pure white clothes that God has given to us in salvation, and he has given us the commandment not to get them dirty. We're not supposed to get them dirty. And you'd say, how is this possible? The world is a dirty place. There's mud everywhere. Today is kind of gives us a good illustration. It's rainy, it's wet, there's mud everywhere, and it's almost impossible to go through this world and not get dirty. How do we do that? And how is it possible to live a Christian life without getting our white clothes dirty with sin? So we see our abode. Our abode is here on earth. But secondly, we can see our authority. Our authority in verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." So the grace of God is what teaches us. The grace of God, which in whole is the gospel, salvation, it is what teaches us, what gives us our authority. It is the authority for going through the Christian life without dirtying our clothes. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The unsaved man is incapable of walking through the Christian life and not getting dirty. He will get dirty. He is the essence of the dirt. So he is the unsaved man. He is unable, aside from salvation, to not conform to the world. He is the conforming. He is the essence of being conformed to the world. And so, but at salvation, the believer is given the ability to not do that. But it's so a current relevant illustration is we just had Christmas. And Christmas, you give gifts and you receive gifts. And once you receive a gift, all that you know about that gift is it is yours. It is a gift given to you. It is wrapped. You don't know what is inside of it. That is, you could say, the message to you is that gift is your gift and you are supposed to open it. That is salvation. We can see that in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." So salvation is the gift given to the unsaved person. That is the only message that they are capable of understanding, and that is the only message that the Lord is wanting them to hear is the salvation, the gospel message to them is that gift. For us that are saved, we have opened that gift. We have received salvation. We have opened the gift. We can see it, and we know what it is. It is the instruction or the ability to get through life, the Christian life, without dirtying our new clothes in salvation. My birthday was on December 23rd, and for my birthday, I've been wanting a journal Bible that has the wide margins that you can write and write down notes and so forth. And for my birthday, Bethany got that for me. And that was a perfect illustration, so you can ask her or thank her later for the illustration. But that we open the gift, and it is God's Word. It is His Word and His Holy Spirit enabling to give the ability, the power to get through this life without sinning, without getting muddy and dirty, because in our own ability is impossible to walk through a filthy place without getting dirt on us. But with God, all things are possible. And so He gives us the authority. So the authority of getting through salvation or getting through this world without getting dirt on us. So thirdly, we see our abode, where our abode is here on earth. We are left here in this present world. We are given the authority, the ability to stay here on earth and not get dirty. And then our assignment, number three, is our assignment, verses 12 and the latter part of verse 14. Verse 12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world." And then last part of verse number 14, it says, purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So our assignment is twofold. It is denying certain things and living for certain things. So first we'll see the denying. What are we supposed to deny? It is denying ungodliness. You can see that in verse 12. Ungodliness. The word ungodliness has the idea of believing in God. Us as Christians, we believe in God. We have faith in God while adopting the lifestyle that seems to deny the fact that you do. And 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Pharisees were the ones that Jesus singled out the most because they claimed and acted as though they were faithful to God, but in reality, they were far from him. And I want to ask this morning, I want each of us to ask this morning, am I denying ungodliness? Am I practicing ungodliness? Am I being the one that comes to church, knows how to put on the Christian life character up front, but then on Monday when I go to work, my coworkers have no idea that I am a Christian. I claim Christianity and faith and belief, but then I don't show it. I am not denying ungodliness. It is possible to come to church and portray that you believe and follow God and then not practice it in your own life. I worked with people in the past where this particular place where I worked, I worked and I would try and be a witness. I would talk about the Lord. I would ask people their salvation testimonies, and I was made fun of for that. I was called preacher by some of them. They would try and pin me with certain questions, you know, ones that aren't really relevant, but they try and, you know, get you on the topics of, you know, tattoos or social drinking and stuff like that. But when I ask them, you know, get them as singled or alone, I try and present the gospel to them, and they know it. They give me a clear gospel presentation. They know it in their minds. They know it in faith, but then they aren't living it as if they were saved. They know it. They are not. If they are saved, they aren't. They are in this ungodliness. They're practicing this ungodliness where they know it in their. They believe it in their mind, but then don't carry it out. So we're supposed to deny ungodliness. Secondly, we're supposed to deny worldly lusts. The word worldly has the idea of having the character of this present corrupt age. That's the adjective there. And then the word lusts has the idea of desire or cravings or longings. So it is this corrupt age is desires and longings. It is that what we are supposed to deny. God is saying the grace of God teaching us, our authority is teaching us how to deny the character and qualities of what the world craves. We are not to have the same desires that the world does. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. This world is not our home. We said it is our abode, as right now, this is where we are left, but this isn't our final home. And our home is in heaven, but we are supposed, as we stay here, we are supposed to abstain or reject, deny those things, those sinful things that are constantly plaguing this world. You can see this in the idea of military uniforms. When you join the the military, the U.S. military, you are issued a uniform, right? You are given a uniform, and that identifies you with the U.S. military. You're not wearing the Russian uniform. You're not wearing the German uniform. You're the U.S. military uniform. That identifies you with the U.S. military. So if I am wearing that, as Christians, we are given our uniform. We are given the Christian uniform. And if I take that off, if I'm take it off and put on the world's uniform, that is not denying the worldly lust, that is putting on the world's, clothes. Pastor Ogle has been preaching through Ephesians, that idea of taking off and putting on, taking off the world's desires, the world's lusts, ungodliness, and putting on the armor of God and the uniform of the Christian. But so in this trip through life and on this earth, we are to deny the worldly lusts and ungodliness. That is the denying. Now I want to see how God wants us to live. Those things, the ungodliness and worldly lust is the dirt and mud on the side, and then how we are supposed to live is on the sidewalk, on the clear, the clean sidewalk that goes through the path of this life. Walk on the sidewalk, not in the mud. I could have titled the passage or sermon that. So we're supposed to walk and live the way that the Lord wants us to and not in the mud. So we see denying worldly lusts and ungodliness. And number two, we're supposed to be living soberly. So number one under living is soberly. This doesn't mean many times we in our current vocabulary, it is for sober is meaning not being drunk or drinking. But in this passage, it means soundness of mind. It is self-control. It is, this word is in contrast to the denying. It is in contrast to worldly lust, excuse me. You don't fall to your lust. You are in control of your mind. You are, you have discipline over your own thoughts. You're not falling to the worldly lusts and their desires. They are tempted with the desire and they just fall into it. But we are supposed to be living soberly. We are in control. We are in discipline of our mind. Paul says in Corinthians, in such a way that it has the idea of beating your body into subjection. It is, I am in control. I don't have to fall to this thing. And as we know in John 5, without the Lord, we can do nothing. We are incapable. We have the capability, as we saw earlier, we have the capability because we have opened the gift. We have salvation. We have the ability through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. We are given that capability to overcome, but in of ourselves, we don't have the power. It is through the Holy Spirit's power and Jesus' power that we have the enablement. We cannot have control over our own sensual desires without relying on God. So we are supposed to live soberly in control of our minds. So number one is soberly, two is righteously, as continue in verse 12, says righteously. Righteously is translated in a bunch of different ways, righteousness, righteously, and they're from majority of the same root word. But in this case, it has the idea, the word has the more idea of right behavior or a proper response. We can see it, this word used in different passages. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, it has the idea of doing what is right. It says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Awake to righteousness. You know what is right. You know what is right. You're supposed to do this, so do it. It's that kind of idea. You know what is right, do it. In 1 Peter 2:23, which says, "Who," talking about Jesus, "when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So he committed himself to the one God that judges righteously. It is the idea of God knowing what was just, knowing what was agreeably right, and it has that idea of I know what is right and doing it. So the grace of God, as our authority is teaching us, how to know and act on what is right. We don't have to rely on our own intellect, and it is through his leading that we don't fall and get dirty in the world's lusts. Number three is godly. This is from the same word that ungodliness comes from. So again, it is the opposite of denying. You're denying ungodliness, you're denying worldly lusts, and so in here, but you're living in godliness. One author says it this way, godliness or godly is a respect for God that affects the way a person lives. When one is challenged to develop a true respect for God, it then challenges that one to live a life based on that respect. It is in chapel at the school, there's been a few sermons preached here recently on having an awe for God. It is that that inner awe, just being in awe of God, the awesomeness of God. And when you have that, you will live for him. It's kind of the idea of, and nowadays we have celebrities, certain celebrities, and everywhere they go, they have the crowd of people following them. They are in awe of that person. They want to act like him. They want to live like him. They want to wear what he wants to wear, comb their hair how he does. And it is that kind of awe that we should have for God. We can see it a little bit later. That is the same idea of zealous in verse 14, is that burning passion. And when we do that, when we have that for God, it will be just like those people following those celebrities. When you have that kind of awe for God, you want to live like how God wants you to live. You want to act in the way that God acts, the way he lives. And when we have that kind of mentality is when we will follow and obey the Lord's command. So we have soberly, and then righteously, godly, and skipping to verse 14, it says zealous of good works. Good works. Zealous, again, has that idea of burning desire. It could be applied, again, to following a celebrity or something like that, is that burning desire. And what is it burning for? It is good works. And good works is basically just that. It is the good works that are given in the Word. It is not the works of the devil. It is God's works, pure deeds that please God. And so we have, first of all, our abode. That is where us here in this present world. And then we are given the authority in salvation, the grace of God, that teaches us and gives us the ability to not conform to the world, not get our pure, righteous, white clothes dirty. And then we have the assignment of denying and living. And then, fourthly, we can see our anticipation, verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our anticipation is Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom. It is his coming. Christians aren't supposed to live for this present world. It is not the present. We are supposed to be living for the future time, anticipation of Christ coming and his entrance into the world. It is anticipation that we are not going to live here forever. Either we're going to pass on and be in heaven and meet him that way, or he's going to come, Jesus is going to come in the rapture and is coming, and that is what our anticipation is supposed to be. We are supposed to be living this life purely, righteously, soberly, godly, and not conforming to the world's desires, the world's temptations, and its pleasures, but we're and staining and getting our newly pure white clothes dirty with the Lord or with the devil's temptations and sins. So God is our authority and has given us salvation. We can view this as a pair of clothes. We now are able to live and abide in the world where God has left us. We are given certain gifts and abilities. We are given all placed in a different generation to reach our generation. We weren't supposed to live in, 1400. We are made to live now. We are supposed to reach our people. God chose us to go through the temptations of this age, not the temptations of whenever. It is this age. Before we were missionaries, we lived here in North Carolina. And if you've lived in North Carolina for any amount of time, you know that if you dig about 6 to 8 inches, you hit red clay, like just solid red clay. And so my brothers and I, many times my parents would just be done with us kids and they would say, go play outside. And so they're like, okay. And then we try to come back inside and they have all the doors locked. so we would try and we would have, we would just, ride bikes or we had woods. And so one day my brothers and I, we decided just to dig a hole just for fun. And so we ended up digging a hole about 5 foot in diameter, probably about 3 foot deep, and it's that red clay. And it was in summer, and we thought, we don't have a swimming pool, and this is, red clay, we have a hole, so it holds water. So we get our, water hose out and fill the thing full of water, and we were like, oh, we could build a water slide, so we, kind of dig a trench going into it. And we're playing out there, and we're having lots of fun. But red clay stains. And so we have, full clothes on, and we're playing in this thing. And till my mom comes out, and we get in big trouble because we ruined our clothes. And that's the idea I want to get across this morning, is we have been given clothes and salvation, and we aren't supposed to be ruining them with our clothes. We're not supposed to be destroying and falling right back into the things that we were saved out of. He doesn't want us to get our new clothes dirty again. But all the while, as we go through this life as Christians, we should be pointing others to where they can get their new pair of clothes. Not just being selfish of, I got the good deal, I got a new pair of clothes for free in salvation, but pointing others where they can get it. They don't have to wear their rags and filthy clothes anymore. They can get theirs too. And that is the gist of what the Lord has burned me with this morning, is we've been given salvation. We have been left here for a purpose. And we aren't to conform to the world, but live righteously, godly, soberly, and zealous of good works. And I pray that we will do this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for another Sunday that we can be in your house and worship you and read from your word. I do pray that we as Christians, as we have received your gift of salvation, that we will not be conformed to this world, but be doing the purpose that you've been given, that you've given to us to live righteously. I do pray that we will not fall back into the sins that we were saved out of in salvation, but I pray that we will live and have an awe for you that will consume us and give us a burning desire to live for you. And I do pray that we will be faithful witnesses in telling others about the free gift that you have given us. I do pray that you work in the rest of the services this morning. I do pray that you give healing to those that aren't feeling well, those that are sick, and that you'll bring them back to be with us here soon. Lord, we love you and ask this in your name. Amen.